up, speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Good morning and welcome to Speak Up for Monday, October 30th. It is the first day of Fun Drive here at CJSF 90.1 FM radio. My name is Magnus Thiebald. I'm your host for today. And yes, it is indeed the first day of Fun Drive. During this week, we are going to be asking you, our listeners, to help support the radio station. We think we provide a great service to our community with lots of varied programming, some of it very unique that you're not going to get anywhere else, such as the program you were just listening to, bringing perspectives that really are not found in almost any of the other media available in this region. During Fun Drive, we are looking for our listeners to support us with a donation, and you can do that by going to our website at www.cjsf.ca/donate. There's a donation form there. And you can make a donation to support the radio station. It goes to all manner of things here at the radio station. Everything from supporting regular operations to funding things like our brand new smartphone app for your phone. This year we're going to be putting up, well, we have to replace our transmitter tower. It's going to happen sometime in the next several months. It's a very expensive project. And one of the benefits of that is it's going to allow us to do make some improvements, boost our power a bunch, and generally see a stronger signal and better reception throughout the greater Vancouver area. So if you're someone who sometimes notices a little crackling in our signal, that might be something you want to step up and support, because we'll be able to make that improvement. CJSF is a volunteer-run, non-commercial radio station, one of only a few in the region, and we're here primarily for you, the listener. Radio doesn't really make a lot of sense if there's not people out there listening. So everything we do is created for you as a listener in the hopes that you're going to find something unique and interesting and of value when you listen to CJSF radio. And if you feel that way, if you do tune into shows like Guerrilla Radio or Speak Up or Democracy Now!, which is coming up at 11 o'clock, then I would really ask you to go to the computer and go to www.cjsf.ca/donate and make a donation. It can be $35 or $50 or $70. Or maybe if you're doing well in your life, you can make a $120 donation or $250. It's really important. It really helps the station grow. Like everyone else, we are affected by inflation, and we see, you know, our funding staying, our other sources of funding staying largely static, while inflation makes the cost of everything go up and up. So diversifying our funding and having our listeners, the people who get the benefit of what we do here at CJSF Radio, supporting the radio station with a donation is really important. And I hope you will think about that and go and make a donation, www.cjsf.ca/donate. Let's get on with the program today. We have an interesting interview coming up first about a student competition hosted here at SFU called the Hybrid Warfare Student Competition. And I'll explain a bit more about that in a second. In the latter part of the program, we're going to be revisiting an interview we did with representatives from the city of Burnaby, Raymond Lee, and a staff person from the city of Burnaby, talking about the apology to the Chinese community that the city of Burnaby is working on. In past, in You know, in the history of our communities, there, as you probably should be aware, and probably are aware, there's been a great deal of racism and discrimination that was baked into our communities for many, many years. And of course, even today in 2023, we are not moved past that entirely yet, although we've made huge improvements. But the city of Burnaby is investigating its own history and the history of both overt and passive racism in the community, both at the community level, individual level, but also through rules and regulations, policies and bylaws from the city of Burnaby. They're looking into that and they are doing that research in preparation for it being the basis of an apology from the city of Burnaby to his Chinese residents. So that's coming up in an interview we're revisiting in the second part of the show. But first, we're going to start off with this interview about hybrid warfare student competition. What is hybrid warfare? Well, it's the kind of thing we're experiencing throughout many countries these days. And that's things like foreign interference in elections. We've experienced that here in Canada with the controversy about Chinese government's influence and interference in our recent elections. We've seen it in the United States and other countries with, for instance, Russian interference in recent U.S. elections. A lot of it happens through social media and through other means of manipulation, and it can have real impacts because it affects public perceptions about a lot of issues. And that affects how governments respond, or in many cases don't respond, as we've seen here in Canada. It has taken a while for the government to recognize what has been going on with Chinese government interference and influence peddling here in Canada, and they're still trying to formulate a proper response to that. So this competition is about preparing students who work in that policy area and are hoping to work in that policy area in the future and how to recognize and deal with those kinds of challenges. Last week, I spoke to Dr. Ellis Velas. He is a former SFU professor now at the University of Tennessee. And he's putting together and organizing this national competition, drawing on teams of students from across Canada. And the competition is happening on next week. And let's just get into that interview. This is our interview on hybrid student.
Joining me today is Dr. Ellis Velasi, who is a former SFU professor now at the University of Tennessee. You are organizing a hybrid warfare student competition. What is that, and when is it happening?
The hybrid warfare student competition is a university competition for university students to basically engage in a simulation that is about a national security crisis facing Canada, and for the students to think in novel terms about what the Canadian government's responses to those national security threats should be like. So the students from various fields of study, advanced university students, third and fourth year students, and or graduate students are going to entertain a simulation scenario, then prepare a policy brief that informs the government for a course of action that must be followed. Of course, the simulation itself has various injection points in that things escalate to see how students are able to adapt to the rapidly evolving situation and how they are going to brief the government on the due course of action. Why is it important to have this? It is important for several reasons. There are somewhat similar university competitions across the United States and Canada that deals with silo themes. It's about cybersecurity issues, or it's about disinformation issues. But this is the first that I know of, at least in Canada, that treats the idea of hybrid warfare or gray zone warfare as a whole, where we have threats facing the country that are not one-dimensional,
right,
but combines the disinformation with cybersecurity, with conventional warfare, and so on.
So maybe you could just expand a little bit more on what is hybrid warfare?
Well, hybrid warfare is a menu of strategies and tactics that countries can use to wage war for attaining political objectives against an opponent shy of undertaking a conventional armed conflict. So everything below the level of traditional conventional conflict. And we are here talking about covert or illicit strategies and tactics, not necessarily something that countries engage openly and through diplomatic and economic channels.
Right. Can you talk about some examples from the real world that would fit this definition?
Very much so. People's Republic of China's foreign interference in Canadian elections, or Russian Federation's interference in Canadian elections going back to 2015. That is one tactic of hybrid warfare, wanting to either elect or influence officials within a country in order to do the bidding of the hostile country. So the Chinese communist government has tried for years to influence Canadian politics so that the Canadian government either refrains from talking about certain issues, especially when it comes to human rights violation with China, so that it is not critical of Chinese government's slew of policies, or that it takes certain actions that benefits a particular country to the detriment of Canada. So that is one case. Another case, modern day case, is the balloons back in February, traversing across the United States and Canada, collecting all kinds of electronic information on Canadian citizens, Canadian installations, and of course, American citizens and American installations as well. So those are but two examples, but there is there are countless examples from Canada alone, and not to even speak of the United States and other parts of the world.
Right, and I guess it's everything from trying to influence the media to hacking to, as you say, sending balloons through our airspace.
Very much so, and there have been cases of also promoting censorship across academia in Canada. There have been cases. Mm-hmm. Where various political operatives from embassies and consulates of different countries, not necessarily just People's Republic of China, Iran, Russia, as well, have infiltrated different events at universities where there have been speakers, where particular government does not necessarily feel that they should be speaking, and then try to basically cancel those events so that the likes of Dalai Lama or Anastasia Lin do not speak about the issues that they find to be in the interest of the Canadian public.
So this is coming up next month. Can you tell me a bit more specifically about this competition and what's going to be happening there?
So the competition will be held from November 6th through November 8th at Simon Fraser University Harbour Center in downtown Vancouver. We have 14 confirmed teams from five universities across Canada. We have eight teams from BC, the University of British Columbia, as well as Simon Fraser University teams. We have teams from York University, University of Calgary, and then, of course, University of Manitoba.
And so once all the teams collect, what happens? I understand there's sort of several rounds of competition that they work through.
So, yes.
So what happens?
So all of the teams have received the initial simulation scenario, and they are preparing a 5-page policy brief as to the course of action that the government of Canada must follow in order to deal with the crisis in the simulation. Of course, the crisis is fictional, but nonetheless, it's somewhat realistic. Mm-hmm. And at a couple of days before the competition, the student teams submit the policy brief. Two panels of judges are going to evaluate the policy briefs, and of course, they are going to rank from the best to good. And then on Monday, the 14 teams compete with presenting to these panels of judges mm-hmm. What their response should be. The top 8 teams from day one move on to the semifinals round. Yep. And then they would have to deal with a simulation injection where things escalate and they have to prepare not a new policy brief, but a policy update. A 2-page policy update report. And then, of course, on day two, they would have to make another presentation to a panel of judges. And then the top 4 teams from day two move on to the finals on the last day of our event on November 8th on a Wednesday.
And that would involve, the final round would involve sort of more changes and updates to the scenario that they then need to respond to.
Exactly. So then at the end of day two, the top teams will get a new simulation scenario inject, and we call it an intelligence report, where things have changed, and for the teams to be able to respond to those changing events. In the real world, things are not static for a very long time. And right. We want our students not to just engage in these exercises for the sake of engaging in an exercise, but we see this competition as a way to build skills so that the students who are interested in the realm of national security, national defense, international security, and so on, are prepared to deal with situations like this once they have finished their studies and have taken their junior positions in the federal government or international organizations, and so on. The idea behind the competition, in addition to preparing students for careers in defense and security, is also to raise awareness about this new type of warfare amongst the general public, especially in Canada, where we are losing a lot of that national security expertise, as most of the experts came through the Cold War, and now they are at the point in their career where they have been retiring en masse. And also, and the federal government multiple occasions has talked about this idea that we need a whole of government or whole of society approach. Complex problems such as hybrid warfare or gray zone warfare, if you will, cannot be solved by one actor alone, be it the federal government or the private sector. It requires a hand-in-hand cooperation and collaboration of academia, private sector, as well as the public sector in order to solve these, what we call wicked problems.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to share what kind of things might be coming up in the initial scenario? Not necessarily specific to that one, but.
Sure. I'll give you a hint. The Canadian Armed Forces and Canada have led NATO's contingent of forces in Latvia for the past 5-6 years or so. We are the framework nation in Latvia. And the Russians have traditionally seen Latvia as part of Russian Empire. Then, of course, it was a part of the Soviet Union. And even now, due to the large percentage of the Latvian population that is ethnic Russian, Russia has not hidden its intent of finding a way to absorb the Baltic republics as a whole, but also Latvia. So there will be a crisis in Latvia that the students would have to respond to. And this is important because we have Canadian soldiers, I think about 700 to 1,000 soldiers in Latvia. So it is a national security threat to Canada that something is happening in Latvia. And of course, I want to reiterate for your audience that we're talking here, fictional scenario.
The hypothetical scenario.
Of course.
Which could happen, but is not happening.
Very much so. And we will also have infusion of disinformation and propaganda, the weaponization of social media. We have seen over the last 6-7 years, especially in the aftermath of the 2016 U.S. presidential election, that social media can be weaponized. Mm-hmm. Though one can use social media to go on, let's say, Facebook Marketplace and buy a lamp or a car, one can go on Facebook and rile up people to take up arms against the government or against a particular community and so on. So I want, or we want the students to be thinking multidimensionally. How do we go about dealing with all of these channels through which warfare is being waged? And that is not very obvious. When you have someone shooting at you, things are rather simple. You can figure out who the shooter is and try to counter that. But when you have infusion of disinformation across media, when you have the weaponization of social media, when you have cybersecurity breaches, espionage, infiltration of the government, it's a pretty complex problem that requires out-of-the-box thinking. And bringing in students in this is another way to contribute to this whole-of-society of approach to dealing with these wicked problems.
And we can see how complicated it is just, you know, from the real-world example of how long it's taken the federal government here in Canada to come up with a coherent response to the meddling we've seen from China. I mean, it sort of became... came up in the media and started to become known, and you know, I think the government's still putting together a response. So it's definitely not something that's easy to handle.
It is very much a very difficult problem to handle. And as indicated, it is not a one-person problem to solve. And we are dealing with this problem now, not only within, let's say, Canada, but we're dealing with this problem across the globe. And the best responses are not unilateral responses, but multilateral responses. And there are a myriad of ways in which Canada can cooperate with the United States, Australia, New Zealand, and the UK within the Five Eyes Intelligence Alliance or within NATO in order to coordinate the efforts. Mm-hmm. It always starts with the willingness to defend the national sovereignty and integrity, and then you proceed from there.
So who are the students who are going to be competing in this? What disciplines are they drawn from? And it seems to me, just as you say, it's not one actor to solve this problem. It's not one sort of discipline or knowledge area that's required either.
Very much so. So one discipline, a team that includes students from the same major in college is probably not going to be the strongest team, just because they are going to be a rather one-dimensional team. Mm-hmm. Within our student body that is competing at this event, we have students who are political science majors, international relations majors, criminal justice majors, psychology majors, engineering majors. And these are the ones that I can recall, because I just looked at the list a couple of days ago. But I wouldn't be surprised if there are a few folks from other concentrations, other fields of study.
It sounds very interesting. So the event is open to the public, as I understand. If people decide to stop in, what will they see?
Okay, so we have two portions of the event that are open to the general public. One is the student presentations. They are open to the general public. Anyone from all over Canada, if they would like to come and attend in person, they are more than welcome to do that. So the presentation parts are open to the general public, as well as the guest talks. We have a number of experts who will be presenting on various aspects of gray zone warfare. In Canada, these experts come from the federal government, from the private sector, as well as from academia. And that portion, which is for the most part on Tuesday afternoon, starting at 1:30, is open to the general public as well.
Excellent. Well, it sounds very interesting. I imagine, you know, people coming to listen to the presentations would be able to learn about the initial scenario that the students are responding to, and then see what they have to say.
Yes, and closer to the competition, we may offer a bit of an excerpt, a small excerpt of the simulation for the general public, just so that they can kind of see how they would approach this problem if they were to be asked to solve it themselves. But we are hoping to have a good turnout. We have some great students from some great schools. We hope that the members of the general public and the Metro Vancouver area would join us for in-person support. We have a website. If you Google search SFU, Hybrid Warfare, you will go to our website. You can find some information about the event. And if you would like to support the team, you can also donate to support a particular team. So if you are a University of Manitoba, York, or Calgary alumni, or University of British Columbia and Simon Fraser University, any donations that are dedicated to the team will go 100% to sponsor the team that you would like to sponsor. It is, I should also note that this competition is largely supported by a grant from Department of National Defense Targeted Engagement Program. Also, Simon Fraser University Faculty of Arts and Social Sciences, NATO Field School, and University of Tennessee Baker School Center for National Security and Foreign Affairs.
Great. So tell us, when's the competition happening again and where?
Competition is happening November 6th through November 8th at Simon Fraser University Harbor Center in downtown Vancouver.
Great. And that Google hint again to find more information?
SFU, Hybrid Warfare.
Excellent. It sounds really interesting. It does seem like this kind of competition between countries is only going to become more and more a factor in international affairs. So it's a very interesting topic to see a competition like this, and it sounds very fascinating. Thank you, Dr. Velassi. Dr. Ellis Velassi of the University of Tennessee, and until recently SFU in the Department of Political Science, running a hybrid warfare student competition with teams from across Canada, November 6th to November 8th at SFU Harbor Center. Thanks so much for joining me today.
My pleasure, Magnus. You have a wonderful day.
Okay, and good luck with the competition.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Ellis Velassi, he's organizing a student competition covering hybrid warfare, which we might know as disinformation, and seeking to use social media and other means to influence elections and other outcomes in international affairs. Even right now, we sort of see that, in a manner of speaking, with the tragic events happening and unfolding in Gaza over the last week and a half. You see that in any, maybe not an organized, deliberate organized, but perhaps attempt to misinform, but certainly the extreme viewpoints on both sides of the issues, where people are fully committed to the story of their side and not really willing to listen to others, is a factor, and it makes it really difficult to engage in that issue in any way. But I would urge you to pay attention and do what you can. Many are calling for a ceasefire in Gaza, and it's hard to see how that is not necessary given what's unfolding there, and the need for a great deal more humanitarian humanitarian aid to get in there. Often they talk about, in the news, you talk about how some aid trucks are getting in. But when you talk about a population of 2 million people, even a few dozen truckloads of supplies of any sort,